Isaiah chapter 9. I love Christmas. Christmas time is I love Thanksgiving. I love this whole time of year. And for me, Christmas, I have such great memories of Christmas. How many remember your first Christmas in your mind's eye? You can remember your very first Christmas, the one that you remember, the first one that you remember. Mine, I remember, was we lived in Mobile, Alabama, but we had moved from Puerto Rico, and I was 4 or 5 years old. My grandparents had come to the States to visit us, and it was my first 1979, and I remember getting my first Star Wars toys. And so that's my Star Wars thing. That's why I like Star Wars so much. That I remember, I still have the toys. I still have those toys from 35 years ago in the basement at our house in a box. I've got all my Star Wars toys. I got X-Wing fighter. For those of you that are Star Wars fans, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you that don't know what an X-Wing is, you have a problem and you need to watch the movie. So I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I love the holidays. Something about the holidays and gifts and the lights. I love the trees, and I just love it. This is a great time of year. And it's a time that we get to reflect on all that God's done in the person of Jesus, because ultimately it's about a child born unto us, right? And it's about a child given a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace is what we're talking about. And if ever there was a day when, and a culture in America, in this world, in the history of time that's needed this message to, I mean, we're in it. We're in a time where everything on the news is negative, one shooting after another, and we need God to really show up. And so this time of year is pertinent. I just say that to encourage you. This time of year is a good time to be salt and light. We talked about it last week, the sermon last week. It's a good time to be salt and light, and we don't want to miss the opportunity to share all the good news. Forget about happy holidays. Forget about that. Merry Christmas. And we're excited about what Jesus has done, and we're excited about Jesus Christ. And so this is a great time of year. Isaiah chapter 8 says something about this. And so before Jesus came to earth as a child, you have to think of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, and it's 400 years of silence since the last prophet of God spoke. And so Jesus came at a time when the children of Israel had not heard from God. And what happens when you live in a culture where God's word's not being spoken for 400 years, things get sort of out of control, you know what I mean? Things get really bad. And so things were bad, and the children of Israel were looking for the Messiah to come. They hadn't heard from a prophet, 400 years of silence. And so we're thinking about this culture, and I want to liken it to where we are as a culture in America. So I want to look at Isaiah chapter 9 today, and we're going to spend the next 3 weeks looking at this chapter in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 9, and in particular today on the idea that God is a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. We'll take some time in the next few weeks to look at these names of God. And so I want to take a minute real quick before we start and before we read to pray and to invite God into this process. We happen to believe here, we're fond of believing, that God's word is infallible, it's without error, 100% true, it's authoritative 2,000, 3,000 years ago, and it's authoritative today. It's authoritative for your life, it's authoritative for mine, and so we rest on what he says. And so we just happen to be a church that believes that. If you don't believe that, you'll find it difficult to follow along. So we believe that God's word is the answer to all of our needs, all of our problems. In it, we find the truth about God and Jesus. So let's invite God into this process. Lord, we love you. We ask that you'd meet us in this place. You've promised that your word would not come back void. That's the promise of God, and we believe that the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. And so we are going to believe in advance that the word of God today will go forth, plant in hearts, and bring forth fruit. We look forward to it. Lord, I ask that I would do my part. And Lord, we promise, you've promised that you'll do your part. Help us all to do our part in hearing the word and applying it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's, I want to kind of skip back. I didn't tell Micah this, but Micah, we're really going to go back to chapter 8. It's okay if you don't have it. You'll be in the unfortunate position of having to trust me. So Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, this is what we go to. If they do not speak according to this word, God's word, it's because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land, hard-pressed, famished, and it will turn out that when they are hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king, and their God is the face upward. And then they will look to the earth and behold distress, darkness, gloom of anguish. They will be driven away into darkness. That's pretty cheery, isn't it? It's a Christmas message this morning. Cheery. You know, this was 1,000 years before Jesus. This was written, Isaiah the prophet, 3,000 years away from us, 3,000 years ago, and yet we live in a very similar culture with similar problems. It's dark, it's discouraged, distress, darkness, the gloom of anguish. This is the culture that we live in. It's the culture where ISIS is blowing up stuff and we have religious wars. It's a culture where the economy is not doing well. It's a culture, unfortunately, where people aren't going to God but are looking towards spiritists and looking to the dead and all these things that are commonplace on the Learning Channel shows promoting spiritists. It's a culture that we live in. And God's like, but nothing's changed. Nothing's really changed. The world's in a tough place. And when there's darkness and anguish and difficulty, the answer to that is always the same. Because it's the same in Isaiah's day, it's the same today. Jesus is the answer. And so in the middle of this darkness, in the middle of this sin-cursed world, in the middle of the anguish and the war and the sin, in the middle of that, God comes. And Isaiah 9 sort of acts like a pond, some water source in the middle of a dry desert. And so we read Isaiah chapter 9, but there will be no more gloom. Isn't that good? Yes. How many are discouraged today, having a tough time, in a difficult situation in your life? Maybe it's been years since you've heard from God. There's been silence. This message is for you. We're entering a season where God is speaking to you and saying, no more gloom. No more gloom. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. The people that walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden, the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloaks rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. That's the Christmas message. I love that story. I'm fond of listening to Handel's Messiah in the holiday. I don't know who makes the habit. I don't own it, but I go to YouTube and Handel's Messiah, and I like listening to it. I love it. When I was a kid, I grew up in a Christian school, many of you know, and it was a kind of a strange school in that sort of they didn't really push sports, although I was really great at sports. And I was in sports. But they didn't push that. That wasn't their main thing. Their main thing was chorus. So every high school student, every year, as a class, you had to take chorus. And we had a choral group that went around and sang. It was really, really good. And we'd do national competitions. And every year, we did Handel's Messiah, or parts of it. And I never forget the recitatives and the tenor arias I love the Handel's Messiah. It's just one of the great pieces of music, and it's just unbelievable. And so you start singing, right? Do you know the song? Do you know the tunes, right? For unto us a child is born. Do you know that? Unto us a child is given. You've never heard this before? Okay, so you need to go Google and listen to all of Handel's Messiah. And so it's just wonderful, right? It's one of the great pieces of music of all time. And so when I read this, I really get this sense of just the awesomeness of God. But, you know, that little part of unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given, for unto us a child is born. And then it goes on. You know what I'm talking about? Do you want to sing it with me, Bruce? No, okay, because I thought you were pretty good. You say he knew. So I love it. I love it. But before the Son came to be born, before we had a wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, before all that was true, God was coming to answer a problem. And in many of our lives, we've got deep-seated problems that are unresolved. And the real answer to those problems are not what happened legally. They're not what happens in the circumstance. Not that the circumstances change. It's that the God of the universe come into your life and begin to manage you in a way that he becomes a wonderful counselor in the middle of a time in your life where you need answers. What we need is a wonderful counselor. You know, the Bible never disguises how bad things can get. You know, it's pretty honest. It's brutally honest, depressingly honest. I just kind of want to read some. To the law and to the testimony, they will pass through the land, verse 24, hard-pressed, famished, and it will turn out when they are hungry, they will be enraged, verse 21, and curse their king, and they're going to curse their God as they face upward. It's the culture that we live in. It's a culture that's against God, and we live in that culture. It's 3,000 years old, but it's a culture that says we have to be quiet about what we believe. Every other religion can say things, but Christianity has to be quiet. No more Merry Christmas, no more crosses everywhere. We have to shut up, but everybody else, we can't say Merry Christmas anymore. We should not be bullied into this. We're Christians. And we're not going to allow for a culture that curses at our God. That's the culture that we live in. They face God. They curse God. They will look to the earth and behold, there's distress and darkness. The gloom of anguish. They will be driven away into darkness. But, chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no more gloom one day. For her who was in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea. Verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Here's the Christmas story. is that in the darkest moment of history, in the darkest time of your life, God is ready to jump in and do something on your behalf. Just in the nick of time, when it looks the worst and the most bleak, God is here. God is here. He's not in heaven somewhere. He is here, right here, in our presence. He fills this room. He cares for you. In your worst, most dark time, God is ready to bless you and to come into your life and make an impact in your world. And those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. You know, it's dark. We live in a dark land, amen? Live in a dark land. You know what? But we're not in that. God's light shining on us. Yeah, that dark that's out there doesn't impact me. I am in the presence of the light of God in a dark world. And I'm the kind of person that can walk out in that darkness of this world and with confidence say, I've got some good news. There is light and an answer to your deepest needs. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. In the world that we live in the world that God wants to bless you with, there's an increase of gladness. Isn't that good news? You'll be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, and men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders. God's going to break the thing that's oppressing you and is bothering you. God is a God that wants to break that chain. This is a Christmas story. Break the yoke of their burden, the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as the battle of Midian. It's a great story. Remember the battle of Midian? You had 10,000 Israelites, remember that? And God narrows it down, and finally, it's just, remember Gideon? It's finally 300 people, and God, with 300 people, destroys the Gideonites, remember that? And it's just an amazing story. There were 10,000, but God said, no, I don't need 10,000, and he narrows it down, and then he beats this entire army with 300. Listen, there's no army too big. There's no thing too big for the God of the universe to take care of on your behalf. God wants to bless you. I'd say, you know, I feel like even when I'm saying that right now, gosh, it seems like this is a reprise that I keep saying this a lot, and maybe you're getting tired of hearing God wants to bless you in your life. And so just like right now when I was walking over here, I thought, it seems like I say that a lot. God wants to bless you. Listen, I don't think we're saying it enough. God wants to bless you, and we need to get out of this theology that said that God wants us to be destitute. And God, and indeed, God wants to turn your tears to laughter. God wants to bless you. God wants to take the yoke from you and make it an easy thing. God wants to bless us. That's the truth of God's word. I don't know, I'm kind of getting self-conscious. I'm saying this too much. God wants to bless us. God's intent on doing it. That's why he came and brought a child. Not because he has poor intentions for us. Every boot of the booted warrior, I love this, in the battle of tumult, and the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. Every blood-soaked piece of garment, every war implement, God will one day destroy. No more war. We're not going to be learning no war no more, Isaiah chapter 2, when Jesus comes. In the presence of God, there's blessing. God is a God who wants to shatter broken things. He wants you to turn your tears into laughter. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. And how does he do this? I love this. How does God end war? For unto us a child is born. No. That doesn't make sense. What God needs to do is bring a bigger bully into the bully fight. No, that's not the way God does it. God brings his child, a child. God brings a child. Isn't that amazing? Unto us a child is born. I was a child up to the challenge. Well, this child happens to be special. This child happens to be the God of the universe. That's how this child is up to the challenge of every problem that you have. Listen, if God can end war because of this child, he can solve your problem. Some of us have spiritual problems. They have addictions. Things that you're struggling with. But God's not intent for you to live like that the rest of your life. God wants to break in and help you to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. You're in debt. God does not want you to be in debt. God wants you to be a lender, not a borrower. God does not want you to be the tail. He wants you to be the head. God is for you. He's not against you. Who dare stand up to the God who's for me? Who can stand up against that God? Who can be against me when God is for me? The child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. The zeal of, and that from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. You know what Isaiah 9 is really teaching us? Is that God has an answer for ISIS. God has an answer for the economy. God has an answer for your problem. God has an answer for your family. Oh man, God's got something to say about my family. Yeah, he does. Got something to say about your family. He's got something to say about your circumstances, because God is good. Isaiah 9 is a story about a God who has counsel for us in our deepest troubles. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. We're turning to all this stuff. Oprah, Dr. Phil, nothing wrong with Dr. Phil. Probably something wrong with Oprah, but nothing wrong with Dr. Phil. At least he's saying some decent things. I think so, a lot of biblical things. Oprah, I don't allow it in the house. And then Kelly still watches occasionally, but... you know, the thing is... so Kelly thinks I throw her under the bus when I preach. You know... I'm just saying, sometimes you watch Oprah. A lot of women watch Oprah. How many women would be in here would confess that occasionally you watch Oprah? It's okay. I won't make fun of you. I promise. I've got to share this a little bit. Please, somebody raise their hand and say, yes, I watch a little bit of Oprah. Nobody's going to own it. Okay, there it is. You watch Oprah? What's wrong with you? That's just kidding. No, it's fine. You used to. Right, when she had it, but now it's a whole network. You know, the thing is, we're turning everywhere for a whole bunch of answers, and we have a God who's a wonderful counselor who has all the answers. And we're turning to the world, we're turning to, in a world where God's word says in chapter 8, they're consulting mediums and spiritists. They're going to consult the dead before the living. We don't have to go to that. We have the God of the universe who can counsel us, who can tell us what to do. He's a good God, and in him there is no shadow of turning. What he says is true, and we can count on it. We can rest on it, and we don't have to wonder if what he's saying we can trust. We can trust it because he's a good God. He's a wonderful counselor, and he's ready right in the middle of your worst problem to come in and say, this is what you need to do. I want to favor you. I want to bless you. I've got answers for your problem. God's a wonderful counselor. We're almost done. I just want to say this. You know, the great news is of Christmas is not that Jesus came to earth. The great news is that he is here. It's not that he came 2,000 years ago. It's that he's here right now. It's that God wants to bless me right now. And even if you haven't heard from God for years and years and years, and there's been a time of silence in your life where you haven't heard from God, God's speaking, and he has something to tell you, and he has some word to give you, because God wants to bless you, and he's favoring you, and he wants to do good for you. So I don't believe that about God. Well, James has something to say about that. We talked this morning in Sunday school about the book of James. I love it. So I'm going to turn this. This was not planned. It's not in my notes, but we may as well talk about it. The book of James, Hebrews, James chapter 1. Here's some fundamental truths that we have to know about this wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, wonderful truth. Here it is, verse 16. How about we just jump into verse 17? Every good thing given, listen to this. Verse 17 is where I'm after. Verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It's from above. Every good thing that you have comes from God. It's not just a happenstance. It's not by accident. Every good thing comes from God. And part of the problem with sort of our Christianese circle is that when we talk about God wants to bless you, and everybody kind of gets a little uncomfortable. Oh, I'm not sure. It's getting a little too prosperity or whatever. You know, we kind of get nervous about it a little bit. Listen, we've got to get to the place where we know that every good thing comes from above. Everything. Everything. Everything that God gives us that is good, God gives us. Every good and perfect thing comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, not from darkness. He's the Father of lights. He's a good God. When did we lose this theology that God is good and in him there is no darkness at all? With whom there is no variation or shift with the shadow, God's word says. No shifting shadow. Do you know what that means? That God is true and faithful and good, and it's always true. It never changes. That is always the posture of God. He never has bad intentions for you. He always has good intentions for you. When bad things happen, it's not because God's in charge of it. That's because there's a sin-cursed world that we live in, and because the enemy wants to destroy you. But God is good. Yeah. And he has good things for you. In him, there is no shadow of turning. He's a good God. I'm not going to be bullied into not preaching that God is good. God is good, and that has nothing to do with the prosperity gospel. What it has to do with is that God loves you enough that he died for you, enough that he came to bring his child here and to condescend to come to this earth. Why would he do that? Because God is good. Every good thing comes from God. God wants to bless you. He's intent on being good to me. When bad things happen, it has nothing to do with God. When good things happen, it has everything to do with God. God is good. If you believe that, can you say amen today? If you believe that God is a good God who wants to bless us, and we should not say it, we should say it more and more and more. God is good, and in him there is no shadow of turning. God does not tempt you. He's not the author of bad things. God does not give people cancer. The world and sin-cursed world, cancer exists, but God is good. This seems like the simplest thing in the world, but it seems like there's a barrier in receiving this. God is a good God. Doesn't mean that we won't have difficult times and that difficult times aren't there to draw us closer to Jesus. Absolutely. We're going to have tough times, but God wants to bless you in them. God wants to grow you in it. God wants you to become the kind of person that God wants you to be. He wants you to be fulfilled and walk closer to Him, even in difficult times. Why? God is good. In Him, there's no darkness at all. God's a wonderful counselor. It's wonderful. It's not spiteful. So if God says something, it's true. No shadow of turning whatsoever. And that God is here. God with us. God with us. He's here. Not 2,000 years ago, today. He's here. God, I'm having a tough time. God's here. He's a wonderful counselor. I don't know what to do. God is here. He wants to help. He's a wonderful counselor. I just don't know. I'm getting different opinions. Go to God's opinion. God is here. He's got the answer. You know, this time of year, Christmas time, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating, when it comes down to it, we're celebrating a God who is here and a God who wants a relationship with us. A God that walks in the garden with us, wants relationship. A God that builds a tabernacle. Why? Because He wants the place of meeting. Why? Because God wants relationship with us. The reason why Jesus came to earth is because God wants relationship with us. God's intent on it. He's crazy about it. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to live with Him. He's a wonderful counselor. A mighty God, Prince of Peace. It's two things this year. Will you be the kind of salt and light? We have 3 weeks to make an impact for Jesus. Will you be salt and light? Share this good news that God is with us. The primary part, I think everybody in this room has struggles, things that you're struggling with, but I think maybe more than some people more than others. You know what I mean? Some people are really having a tough time. I don't know why. But some people are struggling this time of year. It's a tough time of year to be struggling. You know, the Christmas is such a beautiful story. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. That's the answer to our problems. I want to encourage you today, if you're struggling, If the world is beating you down, maybe you haven't heard from God and you're just looking, you need some answers today, I just want to invite you, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. He's here for you. He came 2,000 years ago to come down for a relationship with us, and He's here by the power of His Spirit today. He wants to bless you. He wants you to turn to Him like the prodigal. And you don't have to earn anything from God. You don't have to say, oh, I don't deserve it. I'm going to try to earn favor from God. You don't have to earn anything from God. God loves you. He's earned everything already. All you have to do is just receive. Receive the benefit and the blessing of the presence of God, His purposes for your life. This Christmas, will you give your problems to Jesus? Be the kind of person that says, I've turned everywhere. I don't have the answers. Well, I'm going to try to do it God's way. Trust Jesus. Maybe there's somebody in this room that what I'm saying doesn't even make any sense. What do you trust Jesus? What's that mean for you? This the greatest news is that for you, this child that was born eventually came to die. And that child died, and the person of Jesus, 30 years old, died for your sins, died so that you could come to Jesus and all the stuff that's negative, all the sin, all the black in your life, all the darkness, God takes care of in the person of Jesus. Will you turn to Jesus? If you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, if you don't know that for sure, I'm not sure if I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Listen, if you don't know for sure, if you don't know for sure that you have a relationship with God, you probably don't have a relationship with God. We need to come to terms with the fact that you don't come to a relationship with the God of the universe, the God that created heaven and earth, the God that created the expanse of this universe, this huge God. You don't come to a personal relationship with the God of the universe and not know that you did. You either are or you're not. You either have a relationship with Jesus or you don't. And you either know that you do or you probably don't. Does that make sense? That makes kind of common sense, doesn't it? I want to invite you to be a good time of year to know Jesus and to have a relationship with Jesus, the God that loves you, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. Wouldn't that be a good time of year to make that commitment to Jesus? I believe maybe there's somebody in this room. I just feel like maybe in the room this size, there are people even that have come to church for years and you've never come to the place where you've just given Jesus your life. It'd be a good day to do it. You don't come to Jesus and say, well, I'll take Jesus for fire insurance and I'll trust Jesus for my eternity and not trust. You can't trust Jesus for something as big as your eternity and not trust Jesus for something as small as today. You either give Jesus your life or not. And I think there may be people in here that have never done that. It'd be a good day. It'd be a good day. Lord, we love you. You're a good God, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. But Lord, we need you today. We live in a dark world. Lord, darkness encompasses all around. But God, in the middle of that darkness, you've come in. You've broken through in the person of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And you did that for us because you want relationship with us. You're a good God in whom there is no darkness whatsoever. And you have good intentions for us, not bad intentions, but good intentions. And Lord, there are people in this room, I believe, that don't know you as a personal Savior, that don't have a relationship with you. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you'd rest over them and bring them to some saving knowledge. Give them the courage to come see somebody today to get this right so that they can have a relationship with the God of the universe who's here today, ever present right now in this room. You are here, everlasting Father, and yet you abide in this place. And we're thankful today. God, the extent to which we have difficulties today, we give them to you. We yield to your foundational word of God that is without error, completely infallible and trustworthy. God, we give our life to you and we abide by what you say, and we ask that you would help those that are struggling today to make that commitment. Lord Jesus, be with everybody in this room. We ask again that if there's somebody that doesn't know you, God, that you'd bring them to a saving knowledge of your great grace and of the Son of God. We ask that that happen today. God, give courage that they'd be able to come to this decision and come see one of us today, somebody that knows you. Lord Jesus, bless us now. Be with us, God, and we ask that you'd help this holiday season to be the best ever. I'm going to worship you today. Lord Jesus, come. Come in our life, rule and reign. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.